Welcome. You have tuned into WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. The program you're listening to is called A Voice of a People with Linda Sims. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn and search on any electronic device, WWGH. And don't forget to search WWGH. If you would like to connect with the program today, speak to my guest or to myself, you have any questions or would like to make any comments, please call 740-383-9944. H. Good is here once again, and he is the author of Just Quit, It Will Make You Feel Better. And before I turn my attention to him at this time, let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministry, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. We also have Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company, LLC, with 25 years of experience working for you. And they are out of LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-0939. And Logos Christian Ministries have an ongoing announcement, free produce market every second Saturday of every month, which was last Saturday if you missed it. And they will have the free produce June the 8th. So mark your calendars. And that address, once again, is 582 Lee Street. No appointment or pre-registration required. Simply show up. Provide your name and number of people in your family. Okay, and thank you for your continued support. And thank you for those of you who are tuning in for the first time. I have a thought for you today. And it goes like this. Today is the day to practice positive, detached observation. And each emotion-filled moment is the opportunity. This is real work. The work of one who is a master of their own consciousness. Are you a master or a slave? So hopefully you can use that thought for today and to your benefit or to someone else's benefit. Okay, and I might read that again if my guest I know he'll probably take it from there, right? So it's, how you doing quote today, H. Good?
Hey, Miss Linda, I am fantastic. I'm so excited to be here again with good. You, and that was a fantastic quote. So thank you for having me on your program again.
Yes, this is real. I mean, we were separated for a long time as far as worshiping together.
That's
and
right.
Fellow, you know, laborers in mm-hmm. Christ. And we've been reconnected.
That's right. That's right. It's interesting how, you know, things come back full circle sometimes. It's I was thinking that a few weeks ago that I have not talked to you in a while. I knew that Pastor Rowan would come on your program from time to time, mm-hmm. but it's just interesting that, you know, our pathways have crossed again, and I never thought that I would be sitting across from you, you know, at the radio station. And when Pastor Rowan was telling me that he would come on, I thought, wow, what an awesome opportunity. You know, I wonder how he was able to do that. So I'm just it's just awesome to be able to, of course, see you doing your thing here at the station, and then having me come on and, you know, share some excitement about some of the things that are going on in my life as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I never thought I'd be here.
Wow.
It's the way that God works things out.
Wow.
But I never said no.
Yeah.
I couldn't. My father didn't raise me like that. Mm-hmm. That was a word that was not allowed to be spoken in our household. Can't. He would
That's
say,
good.
There is no such word.
That's good.
You know, and he would just shut you down. You mm-hmm. know, just try.
That's so right.
I grew up with that. Just at least try.
Sounds like my house. Yeah, that's good. That's, again, reminds me of some things we were talking about the last time I was here. That's just good home training.
Yes, it is.
And then, you know, having your father's voice, you know, in your life saying that, you know, the word can't is not a word that we speak in this house. It's just, yes. It helps you to, you know, before you say something like that or before you even think it, it helps you to think about, just before I say I can't, let me, well, my dad says we don't say that in this house, so maybe I can do this,
right,
you know?
Right,
so that's
right.
Good. That's good, right. good.
That's good. Yeah. How's your family, your lovely wife and children?
So we're doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. Good. We are at the point where, you know, school is starting to wrap up and just preparing for the summer. And my children, they actually have a event going on at their school tonight, a performance. So I'll be hustling back to Columbus. But they're doing good. We're going to be taking some time to go on vacation and just, you know, kind of detach from some things and just kind of, get refreshed and really come back this fall or even in the middle of the summer just with a game plan as far as how we want to attack the remaining part of this year. So, yep, Michelle is doing fantastic. You know, she teaches, and she's getting ready to wind down at her school. And so they're doing really, really good. Thank you for asking.
That's great. That's great. Great news. Well, if it wasn't for them, there would be no you. Not where you are right now.
This is true. You know, I always say that I'm grateful for my wife, who is very supportive. She has a vision for herself as well, but she believes in the vision that God has given me believes in the vision that God has given us. Mm-hmm. And so she's very supportive. And, you know, I heard a man say this many years ago that, you know, if the man is the head, then the wife is the neck that turns the head. If the man is the pants, then the wife is the one that is the belt that holds the pants up, you know. And it's so true. It's so true. They go hand in hand. And again, I'm very grateful for my wife and her support. And she, you know, when I told her that I was going to be coming back on the program, you know, she's like, go for it. So yeah, I'm a blessed man.
Yes, you are.
I'm a blessed man. And we know what the scripture says, that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And I again, I'll just say, whenever I say that verse, you know, I have a woman who was, she wasn't just a girl. She wasn't just a woman, but she was a wife, somebody who was preparing herself to be a wife. And when I was single, I was preparing myself to be a husband. So I have found favor from the Lord, because his word says that when you find a wife, you find a good thing. So, amen. And you obtain favor. So yes, ma'am.
Yes. And God is faithful.
Amen.
He is faithful to his word.
Amen.
He say, heaven and earth may pass away, but my words
remain,
will stand forever.
That's right.
Forever.
That's right.
Yes. And I know you came up with the title, I dare you.
I dare you.
And
yes.
I put a challenge in there, you know.
Yes.
About the same thing, right?
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes.
So when you say I dare you, what are you really saying to those who are listening?
So the last time I was here, you know, we had a couple people call in,
yes,
that were talking about some steps of faith or some a direction that they wanted to go in. And they were, it sounded like maybe they had a little fear or they were a little hesitant.
Right.
And so I wanted to talk about I dare you, or I dare, from a standpoint of, as you said, a challenge. And, you know, a few weeks ago, I had asked the question. I was on social media and I had asked some of my followers, what keeps people from pursuing from pursuing their dream? The dream that they believe God has put on the inside of them. And I heard all kinds of responses. from those people that, you know, answered the question. And it was really interesting to hear all the different responses. Some people said it was fear. Some people said it was a lack of time. Some people said habits. Some people said a lack of planning. Just all kind of different answers that people provided. And it was just really interesting to hear the different answers. And so the whole idea challenge, or when I was talking to you about this, is I just want to dare people to begin to take time and ask themselves, and it takes courage to do this, what is stopping them from taking the action, or from making better decisions about their life. And so there's some things that I want to dare people to do, but that was really the big, you know, the big question is, or the big statement about I dare is, you know, I really want to challenge people to ask themselves and take time to identify what is stopping them from taking action.
Right, right.
Is it fear? Is it complacency? Is it, you know, like one person said, a lack of time? And once they take that time and just kind of sit by themselves and start asking themselves some real authentic questions about what is stopping them, once they kind of can identify what that is, Linda, then I believe they can start moving forward.
Right.
So that was the whole thing behind the whole I dare. And of course, I have some quotes here that I wanted to share with you.
Okay.
And some things that I have learned. You know, we all, you know, when I took this challenge a couple years ago, you know, I think some people don't want to take the time to identify what is stopping them, because you typically, you can blame all the outside forces.
True.
But most of the time, the issues that are stopping us are not anyone else. It's us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can blame, like I shared in my book, you know, when I was stuck and not understanding why things were not progressing the way that I wanted them to, I blamed my wife because she wasn't in agreement with the direction I wanted to go in. I blamed, you know, the government because all the taxes that my business had to pay. I blamed my clients because I wasn't getting we weren't getting some of our payments on time. I was pointing the finger at all these different outside forces. And granted, some of those things were accurate, you know, but then I had to start asking myself, what role did I play in all of this?
Mm-hmm.
What role did I play? Because when it comes down to it, I'm the one that made certain decisions. I'm the one that made the decision not to share with my wife certain information about the business. I'm the one that, you know, made decisions to pay certain things late. There's just a lot of decisions. And so I started, taking time and just asking myself and identifying what were those things that were hindering me. And a lot of those things, as I've mentioned to you and to other people, was the big F word. And that big F word is fear.
Right. Right. It's a big word.
It is a big word. I love what one of my mentors says. He has an acronym for fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And he calls it the FUD monster. F-U-D is in dog. The FUD monster.
It is a monster.
It is.
Yes.
It is. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And I've heard people say, well, you know, what's that phrase where people talk about you have to be fearless?
Right.
We've all heard that mm-hmm. that term, and I don't know if I agree with that term, you have to be fearless, because, you know, we're all human beings and we all experience fear.
True.
And I believe that fear has a voice.
Mm-hmm. A big one.
A big one. And you know, if you listen to the voice of fear, it can hinder you. So I don't know if it's we need to be fearless. I would challenge people when it comes to that phrase that it's almost you have to have courage even in the face of fear.
True. You're right about that.
And as you are facing your fear and having courage, you may still be experiencing fear, and you may even hear voices sometimes. And I heard you say many, many years ago, it was not about fear, but it was you were mentioning how sometimes you have to talk to yourself. And I'll never forget it. I won't go into all the detail, but that is one of the keys to overcoming your fear, or overcoming the voice of fear, is you have to begin to talk to yourself. Yeah. And you even have to talk to that voice of fear.
Yes, you do.
And anybody who's had any kind of success in life, it's not that they don't have fear. Mm-hmm. It's just they have learned to have like off the chain self-talk. Mm-hmm. And they've learned to confront those fears. They've learned to confront the fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Mm-hmm. And they move forward in the face of fear and with courage.
Right.
So
fear,
yeah.
Fear is a coward.
Fear is a coward.
And once you take that step, it's behind you.
That's
you're
right.
Like, wow, why was I so upset and
that's
so
right.
fearful?
That's right.
But it's a coward once you stand up to it.
That's right.
Know? And like you say, I don't remember saying that, but I do talk to myself.
Yeah, we all do. If anybody's going to be honest, we all have self. Yes. We all talk to ourselves. Now, the question is, do you answer the question?
Yeah.
If you're asking yourself a question, do you answer the question? But anyway,
sometimes.
Yeah, we all talk to ourselves.
Right. And it helps me, though.
It does help you. Me. And so whenever I have a quote here that says, confronting and attacking your fears, uncertainties, and doubts is the cost of going to the next level in life, in your relationships, in business, in your family. Confronting and attacking your fears. And so oftentimes people stay paralyzed, not moving forward because of fear. And oftentimes you find people don't have good self-talk.
Right.
And so when you're talking to yourself about the things that you're facing, you know, maybe somebody criticizes you, and so that voice just stays in your head, or whatever that person said about you just stays in your head. Well, you have to learn how to have good self-talk. And there's, you know, everybody gets criticized. Everybody gets critiqued. Mm-hmm. You know, and I heard this quote. I'm a quote guy.
Okay.
It was by Simon Bailey, and he said that feedback is the breakfast of champions. And so sometimes people will criticize you. Some people will give you feedback. And if you don't have good self-talk, you will allow what they say to just keep you paralyzed.
Oh, yes.
And not move forward.
That's true. That's true. And how often does that happen? Probably daily.
It happens daily. Yes.
Someone you consider your friend may not even want to see you rise up and do something great.
That's
you
right.
Know, or be great in whatever you... your dreams or whatever
that's
your
right.
purpose may be, and they'll try to squash you and keep you down. And
that's
you know,
right.
I don't know if I'd try that if I was you. Or, you
that's
know,
right.
It might not work out the way you think.
That's
you know,
right.
Then you get to doubt.
That's right.
You know, then you get to doubt. And it's like, well, maybe I shouldn't try.
Correct. Correct. And then you end up not living a life of fulfillment.
True.
And, you know, sometimes those people... sometimes it's people who are very close to you. And so I know for me personally, when somebody wants counsel or if I'm coaching someone, I try to, instead of putting the seed of doubt, especially if it's just something that they want to try, mm-hmm. I try not to put water on their fire.
Right.
I try not to. I remember back when I graduated from college, I was looking to go overseas to play basketball. And the first opportunity that I had was to go to the country of India. And the very people who I thought would be supportive, family,
wasn't there, right?
Were the one. And this was a good opportunity.
Wow.
Like it was a good opportunity. It was an opportunity not just for me to play basketball, but also for ministry. And I was going to be impacting a lot of people's lives.
Right.
Through playing basketball and this ministry. And so someone who was very close to me said to me, I don't think this is something that you ought to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought it was a good thing. And I was shocked, Linda, that this family member would have said that to me. Mm-hmm. And do you know that I meditated on that for a little while.
I
meditated on that because this person in my family was older than me, and they had lived many, many years.
You have some trust there.
Correct. Correct. And for them to say that, but again, I at the time had good self-talk. I think I had invested a lot in going on that trip as well to India. And so there was an ounce of when they said, I don't think this is a good thing for you, because I trusted them. There was not only doubt, but when people speak words like that, it can also cause a little bit of fear.
Yes.
Like, are they seeing something that I don't see?
Right. Did God tell them something?
Correct.
Tell me?
Correct.
Right.
Correct. And so, you know, when I did go on that trip, and the trip was fantastic. No one, you know, it was just a great, great trip. And I learned and grew so much from it. I was over in India for about a month, and it was just a life-changing experience. And so I was so grateful. The other thing I've learned is sometimes people will give you their opinion.
True.
When you didn't even ask for it. And I didn't ask that family member for her opinion.
Okay.
And they just wanted to give it to me. And so that was kind of the process that I went through. Like, you know, I didn't really ask their opinion.
Right.
And here's what's interesting. I ended up going on another trip like that to Central Asian countries, Kyrgyzstan, Turkmenistan. I was playing basketball, sharing my faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that person who was negative on that first trip, they ended up being a big supporter of mine on those trips that followed the India trip.
Well, maybe he had fear
for
you.
Mm-hmm.
You're leaving.
That's right.
Away from home, over the waters. You
That's
know,
right.
There was a fear in him.
That's right.
For you.
That's right.
You know? But I'm glad you persevered. And
yes,
went on.
Yes, yes.
Those opportunities don't come every day.
They don't come every day. And I look at what if I would have listened to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, there are times in our lives when we have people, mentors. Like I'm a big proponent of mentorship.
Right.
And I will reach out to my mentors. I will reach out. I'll even ask my wife from time to time what her thoughts and opinions are on a certain matter. And when I'm seeking out counsel, or even when somebody's giving me counsel and I know they have my best interest in mind,
mm-hmm.
I'll still listen to it. I won't just say, oh, they don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
Because I always want to still be teachable.
Yes.
And there may be some things that people shouldn't, like when the person in my family said that, I did think, but then after a while, I was like, no, I just think, again, back to what your point was, that because they had never done anything like that,
right.
There was fear.
Yeah.
I was going thousands of miles away.
Yeah.
I was basically like that eagle that was taken off from the nest.
Right.
And so I think, and they had never done anything like that. So, you know, sometimes people will, if they're fearful of something, they will put it on you. And so
yeah.
We just have to have good self-talk.
That's true. That's true. Trust God. I'm going to go anywhere.
That's right. That's
I'm
right.
Gonna trust you no matter how it turns out. You
That's
know?
Right.
Because he's faithful.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And fear, uncertainty and doubt, as I was sharing with you before, that whole FUD monster, they can be the greatest enemies of success
mm-hmm.
and happiness. It can keep you stuck right there, and it can keep you from living a fulfilled life.
True.
So think about what your father said to you.
Right.
He said that word, I can't, that doesn't belong in this house.
No.
And so how long have you been hosting this program?
We'll be celebrating 5 years.
5 years.
In June.
Now, when you started, and I know you're the one asking the questions, now I'm asking
okay.
you, but I'm just curious, was there some uncertainty and fear that you, or were you just like, nah, I'm going to do this because it's something I've been wanting to do?
Well, I did talk to the Lord about it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you're going to do it, own it.
That's good.
So.
That's good.
I went forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd be kind of scratchy at first.
Right.
Because you're uncertain and you're on the air and
yes.
you're alive, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah. You have to grow.
Correct.
Like anything you do. So.
Correct. But you didn't allow the fact that you have to grow to keep you from moving forward with it.
No.
You got a directive from God,
mm-hmm.
and you move forward.
Move forward.
And there's a quote that I love by Les Brown, And, you know, there's always a learning curve. Mm-hmm. You've gotten better over the years. You're not, when you first started, there may have been, you know, some things you didn't know, and you've gotten better as you stayed with it.
I think I wrestled more with my own personality coming through.
Got
when
you.
When I realized that. That's going to make my show. It's my personality.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So it puts like a staple on the Voice of a People.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not a, I was a little timid about myself. Mm-hmm. I share things about myself now and really don't really care.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But I feel at home.
Because you've gotten over that uncertainty.
Uncertainty, that little fear.
You confronted
yes.
it. You confronted it. And by saying yes to this.
Right.
It's helped you to grow. So back to that whole quote that I said earlier, confronting and attacking your fears, uncertainties, and doubts, fear, uncertainty, and doubt are and always have been the greatest enemies of success and happiness.
True.
So you've had success. You've been doing this for 5 years. You've impacted your community. You've impacted the state of Ohio. You've had all kind of speakers come on here.
I have.
And because you confronted that uncertainty, you've had success.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just proves the point. And we all deal with it.
Right.
And the issue is, again, what voice are we going to listen to?
Right. You're right. You're right.
What voice are you going to listen to?
And you have to distinguish.
That's right.
Which one.
That's right.
It's going to be, you know.
That's right.
Because when he said, you're going to have to own it, then that made me take responsibility for being here and what I say, who I have on here.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it all works together.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that.
Have you ever had any challenges? Were there ever any times when you were on the air and you were like maybe you made a mistake, or maybe your guest made a mistake and you were like, why did I do that?
I make light of it.
You make light of it. Yes.
Move on,
yes.
Know? I may even say something about it, but I just
mm-hmm.
move on
mm-hmm.
because we're going to do that. That's going to happen from time to time.
That's right.
Like you said, we're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I mess up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I just laugh and move on.
Move on.
You know?
Yes.
So, and I may say, well, this is a mistake, but y'all know.
Right.
I just, like, which is my personality.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love what Les Brown said. I think I was going to say this earlier. He says, he says that anything worth doing.
Mm-hmm.
is worth doing badly until you get it right.
Get it right.
Most people will tell you, if you don't know how to do something, don't do it at all. Don't do it at all. And that's a horrible thing to say to someone because it'll just keep them, instead of trying something new, you know, instead of moving forward, mm-hmm. they'll say, well, I don't know how to do that, so I'm just not going to do it at all.
Right. And you're right, because when you feel like you can't do it or someone's telling you not to do it, then you're like, oh, wow, there went all my dreams.
That's right.
You know, and it just like saps all the energy out of you.
That's right.
Well, I was well on my way, but now look, here's a barrier.
That's right.
Someone else's opinion is in front of me.
That's right.
And I, like you said, a little bit of trust is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe they know more than I know.
Correct.
About this, and
yes.
I don't think I'm going to do it now.
Or what? Maybe they're an expert.
Yes.
Maybe it's not even somebody you necessarily trust, but maybe they're an expert.
Yes.
In the field. I mean, I believe it was Oprah Winfrey who was fired, mm-hmm. or excuse me, she was told that she wasn't going to be very good for TV, and that
sure.
she should try some other things.
Mm-hmm.
And now Oprah Winfrey, now it was a process,
mm-hmm.
and Oprah Winfrey had all kinds of challenges, even from her upbringing, being molested, and I think she left home at the age of 13 or 14, and someone actually said that she wouldn't be good for TV, and now
right.
Oprah has her own, OWN, her own station.
Yeah.
So, obviously, Oprah had good self-talk.
Yes, she did. And a billionaire.
Correct.
$5 billion.
A billionaire. One of the wealthiest women in the world, in the United States, too.
Yes.
So, yeah. Let me just ask you this question, Miss Linda.
Okay.
You talked about some of the mistakes that you made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a statement that says that, you know, mistakes and pain, mistakes can be painful.
Mm-hmm.
On your way, on your pathway to success, there's going to be some painful experiences.
True.
And it's the people who are able to overcome those painful experiences that are able to succeed. Those are the ones, the people who have said, you know what, there's going to be some painful experiences. I'm going to experience pain, but it's actually part of the process.
Yes.
And what I've learned as well is that when you fall, it's just like a ball. Mm-hmm. The harder the ball bounces, the higher up it goes.
True. That's true.
And so I challenge people to learn the art of the bounce back. And when you're experiencing pain on your pathway to success, that pain, those mistakes, it's making you better. Mm-hmm. It's making you better.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. You're so right about that, because, you know, when I first started out, I'll go home and think, well, why didn't I say this? Mm-hmm. Why didn't I do it this way?
You yes.
Know? So then I'll think on myself. I will not make that mistake again when right. I go back, you know. So I was preparing myself and building on, mm-hmm. you know, my lack of experience.
That's right.
I said, well, Lord, give me the words of the learned.
Yes.
You know, even if I don't know them, give
yes.
them to me.
Yes. You know? Yes.
Word my mouth.
Yes.
Know? Yeah. I did all that. I had to.
So one of the things that you did as I'm listening to you is you would ask, you would think about the program, mm-hmm. and you would identify some areas where you could get better.
Right.
Now, if you didn't identify where you could get better, you may not have any listeners, or you may not even be still on this program.
That's true.
And so going back to when we were, you know, when we first started, I dare people mm-hmm. to begin to take time to ask themselves and to identify what is stopping them from right. pursuing their dream, or from taking action, you know, when it comes to their dream, or even just making better decisions about their life, mm-hmm. you know, take inventory. Take some time to identify. And when you do that and you begin to make the necessary changes and adjustments, that's when growth begins.
Yes.
And I was one of these people, is, you know, we all want to have this external, we all want to experience success on the outside. We want to, you know, we want to, I know for me, I didn't get married to get divorced. I want to have a successful marriage.
Right.
I didn't start having children so that they would, when they're, you know, teenagers, that they would leave me and hate me. No, I'm trying to have a successful family and healthy children,
right.
you know, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And so I have to begin to take inventory and ask myself questions as to, you know, what is needed for me to have success. And this is what I was going to say. If I want to experience that success outwardly mm-hmm. in my business, I didn't right. get in business to fail.
Right. Right.
I didn't get in business to fail. I got into business to win and impact people's lives. Well, if I'm going to see that kind of success mm-hmm. outwardly, I have to change and grow inwardly.
Inwardly. Yes.
I have to change and grow inwardly.
Yes.
And once I make a commitment to changing and growing inwardly, then my external is going to begin to change.
Right. That's true. That's true. And that, when you said that, that takes me back to the quote I read earlier for today. And it says, are we a master or a slave?
Yes.
So you have to make up your mind. What am I going to be?
That's right.
Am I going to own it or master this? Or
that's right.
Am I going to let it just weigh me down?
And that's right.
I'm going to tuck my tail and run.
That's right.
So we have to state our position and stand.
That's right.
And stand on it, you know.
Yes. And I believe too, Linda, that one of the challenges in this city, in Columbus, and in this state, or just in our society, mm-hmm. is that when people aren't willing to take inventory and begin to ask themselves some of these questions.
Right.
Can you repeat that last quote one more or that last sentence in that quote, the master part? Can you say that one more time, please?
Okay. The work of one who is a master of their own consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a master or a slave?
Are you a master or are you a slave?
Are you going to, it says today is the day to practice positive, detached observation. And each emotion-filled moment is the opportunity. You see, a lot of times we don't take, don't pay attention to the opportunities when they come.
Yes, yes.
You know, because we're a slave.
That's so right.
We're used to.
So that, true.
You know, that same circle we've been on.
So true.
Riding up and down that same street every day.
So true.
You know, we're not, there's streets on the side and maybe a couple blocks over, but I'm afraid to go over there. So I paralyzed myself.
That's right.
So then you become a slave.
That's right.
You know, and you're not taking advantage of the opportunity.
Yep.
And it says this is real work.
There it is.
You have to shape and mold yourself. Like
that's
you
right.
Said, with your words.
That's right.
You know, the position you take. What do I really want to do?
Correct. Correct.
Then I got to work on me, on the inside, to shape and mold this person.
That's right.
That can handle where you are right now.
That's right. I think to your to what you were saying with that quote, I think that oftentimes we choose to be a slave.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, mastering our thoughts, becoming that master. And so when we become a slave to the external, hopefully this makes sense, we then start to fill our lives with all these things that are that cause damage, whether it's, you know, toxic relationships, drugs and alcohol. But when you become a master,
yes,
when you begin to take ownership, take inventory, take responsibility, move forward,
right,
take, you know, you mentioned in that quote about our emotions, every second is an opportunity to examine our emotions. I believe that's what the quote said. When we begin to do that, then we begin to live a life of purpose.
Right, because you can master your emotions.
That's right.
I mean, it's a process. It's a learning process. But once you realize that God has given us power.
That's right.
Over our own selves.
That's right.
You know,
and, so
and
true.
You have to take advantage of that.
That's right.
I don't have to receive that.
That's right.
When the enemy attacks me.
That's
I don't
right.
have to receive that.
That's right.
You know. I don't have to take no for an answer.
That's right.
You know, because I know someone who can open up that door.
That's right.
That no man can close.
That's right.
And he can close that door.
So true.
That no man can open.
So true. I'm reminded of, I hope this will bless the listeners. I remember when we first started our business, and we started our business with our own cash. What I find interesting is that 9 out of 10 businesses fail within the first 5 years, right. 5 years, but yet the banks wanted to lend me money.
Yeah, they do. They
wanted to lend me money, but the statistic is 9 out of 10 businesses fail. Something's not right with that picture. And so hopefully the listeners understand, you know, what my point is. They want to lend you money, but the statistic says 9 out of 10 businesses fail in the first 5 years, but that loan on that business still has to be paid back.
Yes, it does.
So we were operating on a very low budget, and I'll never forget one of the banks that I went to when I was sharing with them that we were going to be starting our business and they wanted to loan me money. I told them that I probably wasn't going to take out a loan, and they said, "Oh, well, with the kind of business that you have, you're going to need, you know, several thousands of dollars, because no client will pay you on the terms that you're talking about being paid by." They were an expert. They'd been in the banking industry, and they had worked with many businesses. But there's something on the inside of me that when people say something can't be done, because I've learned the art of having good self-talk, I'm like, well, that you're not God.
Right.
That's your opinion. I appreciate that. But if my business is, you know, it has God's hand on it, God is going to work this out. And do you know, the first company that I had, the first client that we landed, which was in Bucyrus, Ohio, instead of paying their invoices net 30, we needed them to pay net 7. So in 7 days of receiving the invoice, we needed our payment in our hand in order to be able to continue to function.
Right.
And do you know, I could have listened to that banker, but I had good self-talk, and I said, no, what man says is impossible is possible with God.
That's true.
And so that company, a pretty big company, paid us every 7 days.
Good.
And the whole point of that is that sometimes the experts are wrong.
That's true.
And you have to be able to combat what the experts say, or if they're being negative. Sometimes an expert is being negative.
Right.
So that's an example of how I said, no, you know what? I believe if I had to make some adjustments with my pricing, but that company paid us every 7 days.
That was good. That was really good.
So, yeah.
It was important.
It was important.
It was important. And you were beginning, and they were willing to help.
So correct.
That was great, too.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
And those breaks come along the way.
That's right.
When we need them the most.
That's right.
Yeah. But like you said, that was your first company, right?
First client, yes.
But you learned a lot from your first business.
Learned a lot. So here's what's funny, Miss Linda. I think it was about 6 months later, that client that we had been working to get, we lost it.
Really?
And remember that quote that I said earlier, I said, you will experience pain on the pathway to success.
Right.
And I tried to blame them and say it was their fault, you know, for what happened. But actually, it was me. I had made some decisions and didn't communicate like I needed to. I just thought, you know what? They like me. They'll keep doing business with me. And 6 months later, we lost that account. But that painful experience, there were so many things I learned from that client and that account. That painful experience, because, you know, they were paying us. And so now they're not paying us. And but I learned so much, and it helped me with the accounts that we got after that. It helped me to be better.
Good.
Because I didn't allow it. We didn't allow it to keep us just
right.
Stalled out and saying, oh, well, we tried and, you know, it didn't work. And so now it's just time to shut everything down.
You were determined.
Was determined. That's another key right there. Determination.
Yes. To be a success, no matter what it costs, you were determined.
Yes.
We're going to do it. We're going to make it.
Yes.
And your wife was there to help, you know, urge you on. Yeah,
that's right.
We're not going to quit now. We're going to keep going.
That's right.
Stop now.
That's right.
Because there's so many avenues out there to take advantage of.
That's right.
You know, and I think about our own president who filed bankruptcy 7 times.
Yep.
You know,
mm-hmm.
He didn't give up.
Didn't give up.
Matter of fact, it made him richer every time he did it, you know. So,
because there's something to that process.
Yeah.
I heard this quote by Robert Kiyosaki, and I don't like it. But winning usually follows losing.
Mm-hmm.
I also heard that the president was at one time $9 billion in debt. $9 billion in debt, and my little debt over here, I'm over here fretting. I'm like, this man was $9 billion in debt. I'm like, oh, we can get our debts paid off.
Right. Well, I'm going to ask you now to go ahead and put a plug in for how to purchase your book. We have about 20 seconds.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So we have our book, as Miss Linda shared. It's called Just Quit. It will make you feel better. You can go on Amazon and find Just Quit, It Will Make You Feel Better. Or you can go to our website, which is www.vhgood.com. And they can order there. I'd actually prefer if people would order from our website.
Right.
So, yeah, they can go to vhgood.com, remember good with an E, and order our book.
Well, thank you, H. Good, for being my guest one more
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
He will be
awesome.
Here every second Tuesday of every month.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Good morning, we're on the air.
Hey, Charlie, it's Scott.
Scott!